The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by... we'll get back to you on that. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new David DeVos Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on iTunes and Stitcher to ToyWorldOrder. I'm Jason DeVall. That's Dave Draper.
Yay.
Gang, we're back with an all-new show. Not a really, really big show, though.
Is it at least an adequate-sized show?
It's an adequate-sized show. I saw some movies over the weekend that we'll, we'll talk about a little bit. We'll talk about some toy stuff. How are you, David?
I'm okay. I hate this time of year.
Yes.
I hate it so much.
Yes. We got snow a week ago, week and a half ago.
We got snow not this weekend, but the weekend before.
Like 8.5 inches or something like that.
We're supposed to get it again this weekend.
Yeah, we didn't. Instead, it rained, which then turned to ice, which just froze all the snow that already melted.
Yeah, it was.
Although last night it was like almost 40 degrees, it was raining, so it melted quite a bit. And then the days that the temperatures dropped and there's icy patches again.
Yeah, I know. I was real worried about that.
Yeah, so other than that, though, the roads are fine. But still, yeah, this time of year in Illinois especially sucks.
We've had a lot of wind, and I think we mentioned that my Lego house is coming apart.
Yes, Dave's Lego house is... Dave did not use the right kind of super glue on his Lego house.
And apparently
sadly,
not, yeah.
Sadly, pieces are popping off.
Yeah, it's like freaking one of the three pigs.
It's like Dave's house. Dave's house is playing its own game of perfection. And except instead of the whole board popping up when the timer runs out, it's just like pieces here and there.
Just chunks, yeah.
Yeah, just chunks. We're going to throw this one over here.
So point being,
that one over there.
Point being, the last couple of nights have been super restful and happy as the wind bashes against the side of my house.
As Dave's house creaks and creeches.
Oh, well, that's a whole separate other thing that I've been used to for a long time. Beams will pop.
I remember
those cracks in the wall.
I remember the first time I babysat when Casey was... The first time I babysat Casey over here, and I remember sitting here, and I remember hearing that, like, hearing sounds, and I was like, what is that? And, like, going downstairs and looking in every room, because I was like, is somebody in this house? Like, what is that? And Dave, the next day, was like, no, it's just my house. I was
you're like, the neighbors next door are, like, banging on the wall. I'm like, they're really super old. They were not banging on the wall.
You're like, no, it's just my house. I'm like, oh, well...
Could have been, if it was raining, it could have been one of the pumps.
Would have been nice to know yesterday!
Well, you get used to it. You forget that, like...
You're like, whoa, what's that sound? Oh, yeah, it's just the house.
Never mind. Basically. Yeah. They put in the ducts wrong, because you're supposed to do this little thing where you, like, you put a little dimple in it, you a little bump.
Right.
So that when the heat comes on, it doesn't bang.
Right.
Well, they didn't do that, so, like... The minute the heat goes off, actually, you hear the bang, 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 bang.
Because all the
ducts are, like, contracting.
Yeah, they're retracting. Way to go, HVAC people. Oh, my goodness. Well,
that one was interesting.
We'll come back to that. So, the London Toy Fair is currently going on. While I haven't heard a lot from the London Toy Fair, because it seems like most companies are holding things for New York Toy Fair next month.
Which makes sense.
Funko was at London Toy Fair and did reveal a crap ton of stuff. They revealed a bunch of Pop Heroes Batman 80th to celebrate Batman's 80th birthday, including a Pop Rides Batman 80th 1950 Batmobile, a comic moment from 1972, a movie moment, Batman and the Joker from 1989, which I'll show you a picture of. They showed Superman from the DC Primal Age.
I saw a bunch of the Primal Age, the next wave.
Yeah. I think other people have some pictures of
I've seen Crypto. I've seen... was Black Manta in the first wave?
I don't think so.
I've seen Black Manta. I've seen The Flash. I've seen Black Manta. I think I've seen the whole... I think somebody has the wave up for order because I've seen them.
A line called Five Star with Disney Pixar's The Incredibles and Little Mermaid. And then a mini vinyl figure Little Mermaid. New pop Disney Little Mermaids.
They're doing pops. You're in trouble.
I know. Super cute plush Disney Hercules. Super cute plush of Dumbo, which I imagine is based on the upcoming film.
I imagine.
Disney Pixar Toy Story Woody and Buzz Lightyear vinyls. Pop Games Gears of War. Pop Games Persona 5. Pop Games Warhammer 40K. Pop Keychain Overwatch. Pop Games Overwatch. Pop Rides Lord of the Ring The Witch King when the Fell Beast, which is actually kind of adorable.
Yeah, it actually looks better than the actual thing from the movie.
Yeah. A 5-star for Harry Potter. The vinyl line for Harry Potter. The super cute plush from Harry Potter.
God almighty.
Yeah, the 5-star.
How do you need all this crap? That's ridiculous.
5-star Game of Thrones. Pop Deluxe Game of Thrones. Pop Keychains Game of Thrones. Pop Rides Game of Thrones. The White Walker on Horse. Pop Pens Game of Thrones. Pop Candy Game of Thrones. Cersei Lannister, which is the rock candy. Rock candy.
Kind of the kind of a pinup version.
Yeah, yeah.
A cute pinup.
Yeah, yeah. Pop TV Bewitched. Pop Sanrio Agrotuska.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. Pop Animation Dragon Ball Z. Pop Animation SpongeBob SquarePants. Pop Animation Scooby-Doo. Pop Movies Office Space. Pop Rocks Morrissey. Pop Directors J.J. Abrams.
Will that be a repainted George Lucas?
Yeah, probably. And Pop Football. So, there's a lot. Yes, there are some other waves. Lex Luthor's in the Primal
War. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Black Manta. The Flash. Bizarro.
Yeah.
There's a new Batman, which is a Target exclusive. Crypto.
Oh, I see the pop with the Batman, the 89 Batman.
Where is? Oh, there it is. Yeah. He's knocking Joker off the...
Wouldn't hit a guy with glasses, would you?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, he would. Yeah, lots of Little Mermaid pops.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Big year for Jason.
Yeah, we'll see.
G.I. Joe's...
I'll cherry pick. I'll tell you what.
G.I. Joe's gone sleepy bye-bye, and Star Wars ain't coming out till the fall.
Here's the ones I'll buy. I'll buy that one. I'll buy the actual Ariel one.
Okay, but fair enough.
Yeah, that's...
Diddle Dash. He's a...
There's one in her dress from the end. I could live without that.
Is that the dress from the end, or is that when she washes up on shore?
No, that's the dress from the end when she walks out of the ocean at the very end of the film.
Oh, okay.
But this other one, the little cutesy ones, I'll probably buy.
Yeah.
But yeah, the one Little Mermaid pop vinyl. Well, they've done Little Mermaid before because I have a Little Mermaid pop vinyl.
Okay, I was wondering because I saw like the Ursulas. Yeah. And
they've done a Little Mermaid pop vinyl, but this is just a newer line with different poses and characters. So, the Ursula's kind of neat. Flotsam and Jetsam on her shoulders. It's kind of cool. So lots of stuff coming out from Funko next year. Lots of stuff.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, who doesn't need a pop vinyl of the Scooby-Doo Witch Doctor? I called the Witch Doctor. He told me what to do. He said, ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. Sorry. I get sidetracked sometimes with the Witch Doctor.
What?
NECA showed off their Series 14 Alien Resurrection action figure assortment, which includes a reborn Ripley, the kind of goth, scary Ripley. That's what I like to call her.
Basketball Ripley. Where's her basketball?
That's a good question. I don't think... Oh, she comes with it. Oh.
NECA.
Yeah.
God NECA, bless. You've done it again.
God bless you, NECA.
This is the reality where Walmart bought out Weyland-Yutani.
Yes. She comes with her basketball and a couple of plasma rifles, it looks like. And then we also get...
a warrior.
Yeah, an alien warrior, the resurrection warrior. Those are the only two in that line right now.
Winona Ryder as a cyborg, no, sadly. Or Ron Perlman as a Ron Perlman.
I would buy Ron Perlman as Ron Perlman.
Awful, laughable newborn thing.
What? They call
the, you know the newborn that Ripley gives birth to?
I know. At the end, and she's like pulling it back into her chest.
No. That's Alien 3.
Oh, okay.
With the queen. That's the thing. In Alien 3, she's got a queen embryo in her. And she burns with it, but they clone her because apparently your genetics get like the alien like imprints itself on your genetics too or something, and that's why they clone her in Alien Resurrection because they're trying to get the queen.
Oh, yeah.
So,
that's right, because she has like... Like, she has extra speed and strength and stuff.
Yeah, because she's got alien DNA.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
Xeno DNA.
Been a long time since I've seen that movie.
Me too, but...
Also, from NECA, Predator shot off their 7-inch scale deluxe armored assassin Predator figure.
What? It's 7-inch scale?
7-inch scale
you
deluxe.
Showed off.
Oh, yeah, showed off.
You sounded like... Oh, sorry. Sounded like you said something else. Sorry.
The assassin figure, which is from the new Predator film.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very large Predator, so he's much, much larger than the regular fugitive Predator.
Yeah, why the Predators are working with humans, apparently.
Yeah. So, I need to see that movie, because apparently it's not that bad.
I've heard it's terrible.
Aw, well, that makes me sad.
I've heard a lot of things are terrible.
Also, NECA showed off an image of their upcoming 1/4 scale Ninja Turtle movie figure of the Foot Soldier.
Okay.
Which the Foot Soldiers will come with a bunch of different weapons, nunchucks, batons, the axe, Sai, the sword, a bunch of different hands. So I had a stroke.
Eloquent.
I know. You'll be able to add him to your 1/4 scale collection as well as Shredder later this year. The people are already speculating what the box set for this year's San Diego Comic-Con might be. Honestly, if I had to guess, it's probably going to be a bunch of these foot soldiers and Shredder.
Okay. Didn't they do that when they did the movie ones?
Well, they did.
New York, I think? They did a... Did they? I don't remember. I know they did with the video games. They did.
They did the video games, but then New York did the movie Turtles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a second set with the movie Bad Guys?
No.
Okay.
No. And there is a rumor that hasn't been verified as such as...
Quote-unquote verified.
But apparently...
With evidence.
But apparently NECA has some... something along the lines working with Nickelodeon and Target to put the Toon Turtles packaged separately into Target stores.
Oh, so. Comma, goody. Ugh.
David.
God, I hate that Toys R Us went away.
I know.
Ugh.
I guess if I'd have looked, I already had this article pulled up for the new Primal Age.
Oh, well, there you go.
But I know people were already asking, is the on Superman, Luthor, and Bizarro, are the fists, the big mace fists removable? No, that's part of the characters in that. That's how they're, I don't know, it's how they were created, was to have those, that one fist, so.
My question is, can they sit on Crypto?
Because
I've got a couple, and they, like, I tried to.
Did you buy some, did you buy them from Target?
No.
No.
I've never seen them at Target.
Oh, really?
No, Target. All I need to say is Target, and that should tell you that no, I've
well, you
never,
know the legs.
Never ever seen them. But the leg popped off. I had that like knockoff dragon. That's like a,
yeah.
I can't remember like I can't remember what knockoff line is from, but it's a famous one, the Detroit
right.
Dragon.
Yeah, yeah.
I tried to put who did I get? I tried to put one of those guys on there, and
the leg popped right off.
Leg popped right off.
Wow. Well, that sucks. I know the Target ones. People have taken the legs off the new Target ones to show that. Funko did redesign the actual ball joints on the legs that hold them because the original ones were all made out of like these brittle like clear plastic.
Oh well, it popped off like popped off. It didn't break.
Right,
it just
break.
It popped off.
But that just led me to think about this. But now they're using this flexible rubber as the joints, so the legs actually will stay in, but the rubber won't break. So smart on Funko. It's a shame that tons of people got these like months ago and all of them were pretty much broken upon arrival. That always sucks.
Jeez. I'm just back here like, wow, I literally don't remember a toy I bought.
Hot Toys showed off a new
Has come.
Marvel Future Fight, which is based, I believe, on the downloadable game, the video game. This being the Punisher War Machine armor, which actually is kind of badass looking, man.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, it's comes with an alternate head, of course, an unmasked head with Frank. And it's not bad. It's surprisingly.
I mean, it looks really cool.
Yeah, they need to do more of this kind of stuff because that's. I mean, they've done enough Iron Mans, for God's sake, so why not just make a Punisher version?
Oh, King Shark.
Ah, King Shark.
Jeez. Gridlock. Who am I? Why am I here?
Who am I? Why am I here? No idea when that's coming out. Probably fourth quarter of next year. Or later, possibly. It's hard to say. ArtFX has added to their statue line, this time adding a Wizarding World of Harry Potter character in the form of Fantastic Beasts series, Gellert Grindelwald, the version of Johnny Depp plays in the films. 1/10 scale statue comes with a steel base that is compatible with the magnets in the statue's feet, so he'll be able to stand on the base. You can stand him on a shelf. But it is a statue, so fans of statues and Harry Potter, not bad. It's
it looks
$100.
Like that right after that scene where he cuts one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
$100.
Okay, well,
yeah, not bad, not bad.
I suppose.
Yeah, not bad.
I like that giant cut thing on his.
Yeah, his. I don't know what that is. I think that's. I think you have to put like the thumb and the wand into his hand by that.
Yeah.
McFarlane showed off. They're doing another Labyrinth figure. They did one years ago, which was like a larger scale one with sounds. And they're doing a new one based on the Dance Magic Dance scene where he's just kind of lounging around. So we'll be getting that later. I imagine McFarlane will say something about it at Toy Fair. But again, it's nice to see some more Labyrinth stuff pop out.
Yeah. Although it's always him, and it's not like they had so many inventive creatures.
And I think, well, creatures wise, I don't know why they don't do more of the goblins or Hoggle or, you know, Bluto or any of those. Like, I imagine they won't do Sarah because, well, I can imagine getting her likeness probably sucks.
Well, that'd be difficult. Yeah. Well, maybe not. You don't know. But I can see why they wouldn't go after it. Although,
true.
I don't know why Bowie's likeness would be any easier to get.
Well, now that...
Aside from the fact he's not around to, like...
Sadly, Bowie's passed, but his estate
probably... Yeah. You know, I mean, that can go either way. They can be, like, real protective, or they can be real laissez-faire and after the money. You never know.
Minimates are still a thing, and Diamond is still producing them, surprisingly. I was amazed. I didn't realize this. But they showed off a Series 3 of Kingdom Hearts. Three two-packs based on Kingdom Hearts 3... which feature Toy Story Sora with Wreck-It Ralph, Pirates of the Caribbean, Captain Jack Sparrow, Pirate Donald, and Mickey Mouse with Maleficent. I will say this, much like the Muppets Minimates, some of these characters should never be Minimates. Mickey Mouse is damn frightening.
The Terminator Mickey Mouse?
Yeah, it's scary. And Wreck-It Ralph
I'm hopeless with Sarah Connor!
Wreck-It Ralph just...
Okay, that wasn't Mickey at all. Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph is bad.
I'll be back.
I'm here to see Sarah Connor.
Come with me if you want to live. Jack Sparrow, like, Donald doesn't look bad as a mini-mate. But then you get to Mickey and you go, wow. Okay. Well, that's a thing. It almost looks like they added his ears just for the picture. They're like, oh, crap, we got to put ears on this thing. Somebody cut some out of paper.
Yeah. It does look a little weird.
Yeah, they do. They do not look good. Huh? My ears, huh? Oh, no, huh? That was a big thing on Family Guy. When they show Mickey, hey guys, he just laugh every time.
Yeah, that's what they did on South Park too. Oh no! Whatever that story was, that important story.
I closed it. I didn't mean to. Oh no! There it is.
Yeah.
I found it.
Oh, it was a relatively big story too.
Yeah, pretty much. New SH Figure Arts Pokemon joins the line with Tamahashi Nations releasing a version of Mewtwo. Which, I mean, I'm familiar enough with the Pokemons to know that that's kind of cool. Like, all his little fingers are ball-jointed and stuff.
I guess. It just, like, his tail is growing out of the front.
Yeah.
Which sort of has implications.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
And as someone who's kind of read a lot of manga in the last... Manga.
Manga.
In the last couple of months. I'm not so sure that's accidental. Yeah.
I've read a lot of that there manga.
I have, and boy, they are not woke over in Japan.
You don't think?
No.
It's a different universe over there, my friend.
It is like full on 1960s Mad Men kind of attitude over there.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure people listening to the show kind of know that I'm not a particularly kind of like snowflakey.
No.
Kind of, you know, like easily triggered.
Right.
And some of that stuff was pretty triggering.
Yeah, some of this manga you read and you're just like, holy shit.
The problem is, like, the stories are actually really good.
Oh, yeah.
But then they throw in this stuff and you're like, oh, dear God. Why did that happen? Why did I have to see that?
It's an interesting universe in Japan. Like, again, it's a different culture. It's a different, it's completely a different set of rules over there because... It's been such... I don't want to call it a closed culture, because it's not. It's a very...
Well, the theory I've heard is that you look at these cultures like Japan, like Germany, like England, and they're all kind of very straight-laced in their general day-to-day behavior. Yeah. They're all very kind of, wound up and straight-laced.
Yeah.
But the stuff they produce is
batshit crazy.
Batshit crazy. Yeah. Like violent and crazy sexual stuff and... And it's their escape valve.
Yeah, hence why we have hentai porn and all this other stuff. The hentai porn.
Well, yeah.
The hentai porn.
I'm just like, there's some bleed there between some other genres.
Yep. And it's always been like that. That's not a new thing. Like,
no, because
manga's always been...
Because the series I read actually started in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I part of it made me think, well, that's kind of, I guess, why they got away with so much of that.
Yeah. But you go back and read a lot of, like, the old Ron Mahaff series or stuff like that. Azumanga Daioh, which is a comedy, but you read the manga and you're like, whoa, they're getting away with some stuff in here.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap. Also, at the London Toy Fair this year, LEGO Group revealed a new construction set inspired by the upcoming LEGO Movie 2, this being the Rexelsior. Which is a spaceship.
Okay,
which,
I saw a video about that like weeks ago.
Yeah, but the spaceship, of course, in the film belongs to Rex Dangervest, who is, of course, like we talked about last week, is voiced by Chris Pratt. Features 6 missile spring loader loaded shooters, 2 minifigures, 2 micro figures, and 5 Raptor figures. And it's a pretty. I love Rex. He's great.
Raw.
And this is the version that comes with Emmett with the Rex vest on that has both the drawn-on stubble and these...
When he's trying to wipe it off.
Yeah, when he tries to wipe it off, which is brilliant. Just brilliant. The ship's cool, though. It's a big... although the micro all the little micro figures, like the ship can't actually fit the regular minifigures. Okay, they just come with it.
They must have a different Rex Celsior because they have one that's for the minifigures.
Really? Yeah, this one looks like it's for the micro figures.
Yeah, all and then the it just came tiny. With... Because they usually include a couple of minifigures with the microfigure sets.
That should be out any time. Weird. Yeah.
Well, it's just weird they do 2 sets.
It is, but with Lego these days, it doesn't surprise me.
I guess. Or maybe I'm just not remembering it right.
Remember?
You be quiet, you.
Pepper's Farm remembers.
Pepper's Farm does remember.
Yeah. Funko might have spoiled a key plot point for the upcoming Shazam.
Oh, no.
Do you want to talk about this? Do you want to know?
See, I don't know what it is. I will say, as a general rule, if it involves Avengers Endgame or Star Wars, no.
Okay, well, then it does not involve Avengers Endgame.
Well, you know
or
what
Star
I mean.
Wars.
Like, for those movies, like, yes. I will punch you. But, go ahead. I think I can guess. Is it?
Well, take a guess.
Black Adam?
No. It is not Black Adam.
I have no idea.
For those of you who don't want to know and don't want Shazam ruined for you, you can probably skip ahead a little bit. Funko showed off pictures of 2 of the other members of the family, that being Darla and Eugene, in their costumes.
Okay, I have no idea who Darla is.
Well, I think she's supposed to be Miss Marvel in this.
You mean Mary Marvel?
Mary Marvel, and Eugene is supposed to be...
Captain Marvel Jr.
Yes.
Well, that's... I mean, I didn't know they did that in the film, but my guess is that's a post-credit kind of thing, too.
Yeah, because Adam Brody apparently is playing a grown-up version of Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
So these are going to be the characters in the future, which means the film is probably kind of a flashback. So,
I don't know. But they mentioned the stuff, Man of Steel and the Justice League.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So we'll see what happens. That film, of course, opens April 5th in theaters everywhere. But thanks a lot for that, Funko.
Dude, man, I'm just expecting like the end of Game of Thrones to be wrecked by Funko.
Oh, God, yeah, you know it will
look, be. Look, it's the White King versus Dorogar battle thing. Look at the cute little black dragon.
Look, oh!
Because that's what they got me with the freaking zombie dragon.
Yeah. Here's an interesting that just popped up this afternoon, actually, right before we started recording. But apparently, according to Variety, Disney is currently...
They're never wrong.
No, well, they are. But, of course, we know Disney and Fox have merged. There's still a couple little kinks to work out.
Yeah, like it's supposed to be done in March?
Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty much done. This pertains to The Simpsons, though, which has been on the air for 27 years?
Okay.
26 years, something like that. Disney apparently is mulling, pulling the plug. Oh, Simpsons is currently in the midst of its 30th season. And apparently there's almost a deal to keep the season, the series going at least until series 32. After that, though, Disney apparently is mulling over pulling the plug on it after season 32.
No, too soon.
The reason,
it's just building steam.
I know. The reason is money. In 2013, FX secured cable and streaming syndication rights for the series for a whopping $750 million. But a new syndication deal could make that number look paltry. And Variety goes on to explain, when the first broadcast syndication deals were set for the show in the early 90s, they were exclusive and open-ended, meaning they ran for as long as the show continued to air original episodes on Fox. Such deals were once common, meant to provide security for producers in a world where cable syndication barely existed and streaming was decades away. But in the case of The Simpsons, the original deal had kept the Fox studio from being able to fully exploit the show's value. Now, the FX deal is in place till 2023, and afterwards, if Disney decides to end the show after season 32, it would free Disney to negotiate a new deal or deals covering the broadcast, cable, and streaming that would potentially be worth a heck of a lot more than the $750 million FX paid. So what's funny is, in other words, Simpsons might be worth even more money canceled than it is currently airing. Which, again, that makes sense. If you think about it, the show's at that point has been on for 32 years.
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, it's been beaten by Family Guy for years, maybe true, a decade.
But the syndication episodes still pull in.
I guess. I just remember, like, God, back when... I remember the first, what was it, spinoff syndication showdown? There's a line that Trey McClure has about, the show will probably just keep going until it becomes unprofitable.
Right. Which is kind of almost where it seems it's going. Although it's still one of the... Yes, Family Guy beats it out, and so does Bob's Burgers, I think, at this point. But
wow.
It's still, that's a calm it's down. Still pulling in
I love viewers. Bob's Burgers, but yeah. I mean, it was more like a cult kind of thing, not a...
Bob Burgers is still...
It's a good show, I'm just saying. Like, it never felt like a juggernaut.
Still incredibly funny. Although nothing beats Non-Canonical.
That was the greatest.
That was just the best episode in Bob Burger history. Non-Canonical! Non-Canonical! Oh, my goodness. Great show. But yeah, I think that's interesting, you know, and it makes sense, Disney on a business side, to go, you know what, this show's worth more if we cancel it and syndicate 32 years worth of television, which is entirely unheard of in this day and age, because I don't think any show is close to beating it. I know...
Didn't it beat Bonanza or whatever years ago?
Oh, yeah, no, it beat Bonanza years ago. I think the only show that's been on... See, the deal is, though, it's got the record because it's on... it's not a cable television show. It's like an... You know, what's the word I'm looking for here? The reason it's got the record is because it's the longest-running primetime series. Okay. There you go. I was trying to get there. Meanwhile, South Park, which is a cable series, has been on the air now for 20...
Something. I mean, 22 since years? Since the 90s.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like... I mean, maybe in the world of cable, but like it's nowhere near Simpsons.
No, but just the fact that they're still going. I think they're on season 22. Started in 97. Mm. So, yeah.
But their seasons are weird. They're not like the normal.
Oh, I know.
It's like the season starts when most seasons are ending, and then it. It's counterintuitive how the seasons work on that one.
I agree, but yeah, they're on 22 season 22.
Yeah.
Is where they're at, which still is not bad. They're eight years behind Simpsons.
It's impressive.
Yeah, it's impressive. And the fact that Trey Parker and Matt Stone continue to do it every year, it's just like, my God, guys. Like, although with Simpsons, you know, Simpsons actually still traditionally animated from what I understand.
Yeah.
Whereas South Park, they can, I mean, there's the famous documentary, Six Days to Air, which they literally do that show in the span of 6 days. Like, write it, record it, animate it, boom, and it's done. I mean, so they've been doing that for like 6 or 7 years, I think.
Oh, it's got to be before that. I remember years and years. I mean, like at this point, decades ago.
I'd say it was after the movie came out. I think they started doing that.
Well, I don't know, because like there was an episode where you remember the whole Elian Gonzalez thing?
Yes.
There's an episode that they did like literally that week.
Oh,
about
yeah,
it, including
yeah.
the closet thing, and my yeah. mom refused to believe what she was saying.
Yeah,
she's like, "It can't be."
I'm yeah. like, once they've got it all onto the computer and had that program written, they can literally animate it as easy as they, you know. Back in the day, they used to have to cut out everything.
Oh, they did that for like the original thing.
Season. Yeah,
not the season. I don't even think the original season. I think just
the first episode.
Short.
The first episode, the pilot was
the pilot, maybe. Yeah.
yeah. So yeah, it's fascinating. Disney is become, you know, of course, a major moneymaker with the Marvel films and the purchase of Star Wars, with even though the much maligned films of the past 5 years, sadly, with some fans, Disney's still raking in money. It's not like they're losing money on them.
Is anybody ragging on anything other than Last Jedi?
Ghostbusters.
I meant Star Wars. Don't even get me started on the Ghostbusters. No.
Yeah,
that's epic level sour grapes.
Yeah, and not only do you have Leslie Jones complaining on Twitter, but now you got Paul Feig like supporting
Paul
her.
Paul Feig,
he's like, I fully support her.
I spend millions of dollars on a dance number that doesn't show up in the movie.
I love There's an interview with Dan Aykroyd where he talks about...
Feig's not welcome on the lot anymore.
Yeah, well, but he also talks about how he's like, you know, because Aykroyd was on set, and I think he was an executive producer or something on that. And he was telling him, he's like, you know, you really should shoot these shots. You're going to need them. And Paul would be like, we don't need those. We're not going to need those. And then they put the film together and tested it, and they realized, oh, we need those. And, of course, it's not unusual for films to go back for reshoots, but apparently the reshoots for the Ghostbusters film were way more expensive than they were originally budgeted because, well, they had to shoot all these other scenes that weren't, you know, that they weren't anticipating.
Again, a million-dollar dance sequence that wasn't in the film.
And it's funny, too, because... there's a writer on, I think it's Variety or The Verge or something, that was talking about how he feels this Jason Reitman-directed film is the Trolls winning, and how he's so ashamed at Hollywood because they let the Trolls win, and all of these man babies get the film that they, you know, they hated the girls, but now they're getting the boys, and now they're excited.
Excuse me.
And it's not.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Yes, sir.
The man babies hated the girls. Yeah. Well, maybe the girls should have gone to see the girls' movie.
Yeah.
Women are 51% of the population.
Yeah.
If they had gone to see the girls' movie, it wouldn't have been one of the biggest bombs in Columbia's history and almost taken down the studio.
Yeah, it was...
It was a 1-2-3 punch. It was Amazing Spider-Man 2, it was Ghostbusters, and it was Passengers.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for the PlayStation, like, Sony Entertainment probably would have gone under.
Yeah, when you look at... Go back and look at Ghostbusters' domestic and foreign gross, like... The film, the production budget was $144 million. Add another $144 million to that for marketing.
Feig himself said the movie needed to make like $500 million just to break even.
Yeah, it's only done worldwide $229 million. Yeah. And that's before...
You know. All those darn Russian man babies and Chinese man babies and Guatemalan man babies.
Yeah.
Or maybe...
It was...
Maybe. Now, this is going to blow your mind. Maybe the film wasn't good.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Like we've talked about on the show, I didn't have a problem with the girl team. I had a problem with the characterizations of the girl team. I was a fan of two of the members of the girl team and the characterizations.
But they were the side characters.
Yeah, I thought the two main characters were terrible. I thought the comic... Like, that's the problem with Ghostbusters is that they wanted to make this like straight-edge comedy. And the fact is that Ghostbusters wasn't a straight comedy. They played everything straight and let the funny moments happen naturally.
It came from the characters.
It came from the characters.
From wacky nonsense.
Which is kind of how Ramis and Aykroyd kind of wrote. I mean, yes, Ramis's earlier films like Animal House and Caddyshag were done that way. They were more based on the jokes and using these funny characters in these funny situations. When they got to Ghostbusters, they took this serious idea and put it into, you know, everybody played it straight and it became funny because people were playing it straight.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Whereas Feig wanted to make a Paul Feig movie, but just call it Ghostbusters. And it's like, you got to play that straight. I mean, you're talking about these girls fighting ghosts and that's the comedy of it. Like, they're finding stuff that doesn't really exist in this world unless you talk to certain people.
Like Dan Aykroyd.
Yes.
Woof. It reeks of, like, if the people who this movie was made for had gone to see this movie, it might not have been a disaster.
Right.
So stop blaming the fanboys who you didn't make the movie for.
Right.
You aggressively, like, your marketing was to attack them constantly for being guys who live in the basement, and then be mad that they didn't go see your movie. Like, it's so ass backward. And there are other. There are a lot of... I think the reason they're pissed off about Ghostbusters, I think, as weird as it sounds, this might be one of those big watershed moments in pop culture where studios, which have to make money to survive, go, you know, we're not going to indulge you with your stuff anymore. We're going to make the movie that people want to see rather than the movie that you want.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of getting a hold of intellectual properties and then making a product that is not only not designed to appeal to the people who are fans of that intellectual property, which makes no sense. It's like, why make a Ghostbusters movie that doesn't appeal to Ghostbusters fans? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And you make it for a group of people that generally were not interested in that property to begin with.
Right.
And then you go, oh, it failed. Oh, well, I got to make my message. Like, good for you. You almost took down the studio.
Yeah, you almost destroyed the studio.
Now they want to make money.
Yeah.
Like, boo-hoo, I'm sorry.
And that was the other thing with this article, is this writer...
And meanwhile, I'm going to just put this out. Reitman has been nothing but respectful of that, oh, God, of that
yeah.
movie.
Oh, yeah. Now, he's pissed that they kind of forced him off back, the show. Yeah. I mean, they forced him off the lot and forced him out of control, which is funny because him and Aykroyd are in charge of Ghost Corps, which is the license holder for Ghostbusters. Like, those two guys are the head of that company.
Wow.
It's just, it's crazy to me. Meanwhile, the author of this article was also discussing about how he was sad again that Hollywood gave Jason Reitman, whose last five films have been box office flops, a major motion picture. And I wanted to be like, dude, it's not always about making box office flops. It's about if the pitch worked and the studio likes you and you have, like, no offense. Yes, he's got Ivan Reitman at his back, and Reitman was probably able to pull some strings, but I mean, if the movie works and he makes money, then who cares about those failures? Like, and the failures weren't big budget films. Like, they were small box office movies.
It's also, like, aside from Bridesmaids, what the hell did Fig do that made any money?
That's a good question, David.
Bridesmaids made, here's the thing. Bridesmaids made money, and it was a good film. Like, yeah. it was a funny film.
He has, let's see, Bridesmaids made money. The Heat.
Did not make money.
Did not make money.
Spy didn't make money.
No. Let's see.
What about Unaccompanied Minors? Like, this is his filmography before doing Ghostbusters?
Well, no, The Heat did make money. The production budget on The Heat was only $43 million.
Oh, well,
it was a small budget comedy.
All right, fine.
So it made $229 million worldwide.
Wow.
So
almost as much as Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it made a shit ton of money.
Wow, okay.
Spy was 65. Well, Spy was only $65 million. And see, he was doing these small budget comedies, which were making,
like Reitman did?
Right, which were making a shit ton of money.
Oh.
And then you get up to Ghostbusters, and suddenly he's like just throwing money at things. I don't know about A Simple Favor. I think that's newer. Yeah, that just came out. But even that's almost $100 million. So Unaccompanied Minors was, yeah, that was from like 2006. Mm. And that cost, well, it cost, that was a failure. It cost $25 million to make, and he only made $21 million worldwide. So. But I think that was his first film. So, meanwhile, Jason.
I'm just saying, this guy isn't like doing Jurassic World numbers.
Right. No, not at all. And Reitman has made Thank You for Smoking, Juno, Up in the Air, Young Adult, Labor Day, Men and Women and Children, Tully, The Front Runner. His movies had not made a ton of money.
I'm surprised Juno didn't make that much money.
Juno made $143 million.
Okay, I can't read.
Oh, sorry.
And you're saying that none of these movies make money. So.
Juno made money. Juno was a $7.5 million budget, and it made $231 million worldwide. Oh, okay.
Yeah, big flopperoo.
Up in the Air was, well, it was $25 million. He made $166 million worldwide. That was George Clooney movie.
Let's go through this.
Yeah.
Young Adult.
Young Adult was a $12 million budget. It made $22 million worldwide, so...
All right.
It lost a little money.
It broke even, basically.
Yeah. Labor Day was $18 million. It made $20 million. So yeah, okay,
that's a loser.
That's a loser. The Men, Women, and Children didn't have a budget, but it's only made $700. It only made $705,000 in the States in 2014. Tully, which didn't have a production budget, only did $15 million. And then The Front Runner, which opened up in November with Hugh Jackman, only made like $2 million.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't do that great.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, sadly. But yeah, that article just boggled my mind. I was like, really? Like, I get what you're saying. Yes, his movies have lost money, but he's made some good films, and the movies that have lost money really probably didn't cost that much.
None of those were big budget.
Yeah, I can guarantee you those movies only cost maybe $40, $50 million to make.
Yeah.
60 at the most. Like, we're not talking $100 million films. Like... the Ghostbusters thing. And now you've got a lot of Ghostbuster fans that are pushing back on this new film, even though we don't have any details on the fact that we know there's going to be four teenagers in the film.
Are we locked into this teenager thing?
I don't think we are, but that's what Ivan said in the interview. And people are already turning away from it because they're like, if it's teenagers, I'm out. You know, they need to put Extreme Ghostbusters in there. Make that the new team. I'm like, no, stop it. Just stop. Just why don't you people wait until you see any type of footage from the film, or wait until you see the actual damn film and then make up your damn minds.
I mean, what they were saying about the Ghostbusters 2016,
Which is what we said. I'm going to wait to see it. I'm going to make up my mind.
I never did. I based my judgments on the first trailer.
And I saw it and decided, okay, it's not that great.
Yeah.
Not that great.
I'm just saying I wasn't wrong based on those early judgments.
No. So, yeah, not a spectacular film, sadly. Sadly.
I mean, you know, just, like I said, Bridesmaids was a funny movie. I think at least two of the actresses were really good in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
It's such a cheap, lazy, easy, you don't like it because girls.
No, we didn't like it because it was terrible.
Because it was bad. You know, it's kind of the same thing that people do with, well, I hate to say it, but like I kind of almost feel sometimes with Last Jedi that there are people that legitimately don't seem to, like, you know, I can't remember her name now, but she had purple hair and blah, blah, blah. It's like, look, calm down.
Yeah, it's like, fine.
Yeah, Laura Dern's purple hair was kind of dumb, but
yes,
that didn't, I don't know.
I will
say there are people out there like that. I'm not going to say that there aren't.
I know.
We've seen them, you know.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, Leslie Jones got driven off of Twitter for a while, at least, by some...
First Ghostbusters, yeah.
For some real racist trolls.
Yep.
So I'm not going to say that there aren't, like, some general chuckleheads out there. But you know, they say a stop clock is right twice a day. You know,
true.
Just because there are some misogynistic jerks out there doesn't mean the movie was good.
Right. I agree.
It wasn't.
No, it was a terrible, terrible movie. Terrible.
Terrible.
Speaking of movies, Carrie and I, we were iced in most of the weekend, because I'm like, I'm not going out in this crap. We watched movies all day Sunday. And, well, I watched movies all day Sunday. Carrie kind of half-watched and half-played on her phone, which is what she always does when we watch movies, which is funny. But we watched Ralph Breaks the Internet, which... was not as good as the first one, of course, being a sequel. It had its moments, but it was mostly, I don't know, there's just something about it, like Felix and, what's her face?
Calhoun.
Calhoun are literally only in the movie for maybe 5 minutes. Although, the points they're in the movie, kind of funny.
Well, they're good characters.
Yeah, they're great characters. Like, the arcade isn't, of course, a big part of this because they go to the internet. Slaughter Race is a big part of the film, which is actually kind of fun. There are some fun segments in there. Most of it, though, is Ralph, like, I don't want to ruin the end of the movie. Most of it's Ralph trying to come up with a plan because Vanellope wants to stay in Slaughter Race, and he's trying to convince her not to stay there. So there's some interesting stuff in there, but it wasn't great. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't great. Watched Happy Time Murders, which was a huge flop from last year, which I didn't find nearly as terrible as most people said it was.
All right.
But then again, I like movies with puppets in them.
This is true.
I was fascinated by it, and the fact that all the puppet work they did in the film was not like, it wasn't CGI or anything. It was all live on set.
Yeah.
A lot of times they had guys dressed in green. They showed some of the behind-the-scenes stuff at the end, and like scenes where the lead character would be running, like there's guys with, you know, little, you could see he's like, they've got little stilts on him, and they're making him run, and you know, they're all dressed in green, so they're in out of there. But everything was done live on set, which was kind of neat. Melissa McCarthy was not as annoying in this as she's been in some of her past movies.
Okay.
Was
her character arc focused on something other than eating food?
Actually, yeah.
Oh, that's already better than that.
Yeah, her character arc was, of course, they're both disgraced cops, even though she's still on the force.
Yeah, we don't need a summary.
Well, no, I'm just saying her story arc basically has to deal with, she got shot, and the only hospital they could take her, he could take her to early in like the flashback, was a puppet hospital, and they didn't have human body parts, they had puppet body parts, so she has a puppet spleen.
Oh, okay.
So she can, like, she's hooked on sugar.
Yeah, I got that's like a drug for them.
Yeah, so she can, like, absorb it, where most humans it would kill, like the concentrated sugar that these puppets are dealing. No. But so her story arc is kind of that. His story arc is, you know, he's disgraced because she said that he missed a shot on purpose from shooting another puppet, and it was interesting. It was fascinating. Of course, it ended how you thought it would. You know, they solve the case together. He gets back on the police force as a consultant. Or actually, he's going to get back on the police force because they're going to overturn this law that was put into place that's named for him, so puppets could never be police force members again.
Hmm.
It was fun. And we watched a UK film that had a limited release in the States called Anna and the Apocalypse, which was based on a short film called The Zombie Musical. So Ant in the Apocalypse is exactly what you think. It is a zombie film, but it is a musical. And it actually, I had seen like some of the music videos for it, and the songs were catchy. And I was like, all right, well, I kind of want to see this because I like the music. And I told Carrie what it was, and Carrie's like, I don't want to watch that. So after we got done watching Happy Time Murder, she's like, I don't care, watch what you want to watch. I'm like, I'm going to watch this. She's like, all right. So she's playing on her phone, and we get to the second musical number because there's it opens up with a musical number, and they go to school, and then, you know, they go for a little bit. And there's a second musical number like within 15 minutes of the start of the film. And I look over at one point, and she's playing on her phone, and she's dancing to the music. And I looked at her, and she stops. She goes, I'm not doing nothing. I was like, uh-huh. So she watched it, and she's like, I really like that. I was like, it wasn't bad. And then I watched, Carrie didn't watch it, but I watched Bumblebee. It took me two nights to watch it, but I watched Bumblebee finally and was fascinated because that should have been the Transformer movie we got in 2007.
They didn't have faith.
I know, they did not have faith. And Dave and I kind of were talking about this because I showed Dave like the start of it with Cybertron because it opens up on Cybertron. And I wanted to show him like
I was impressed that they had all the G1 characters running around.
Yeah, the G1 characters, RC.
Yeah, they had RC. I don't know. They had the car with the big ears.
Wheeljack.
Sure.
Brawn was in there. Like there was a lot of G1 characters. You see Cliffjumper later on a different planet. Like, so we get these images of all these other Transformers. But it truly is a soft reboot of that universe. Like they've taken, much like they did with Jurassic Park, and we were talking about this off air, is with the recent Jurassic Park films, of course, the first film happened, and then they just kind of ignore the second two films.
Yeah, I mean, the big difference is that the Jurassic World films, even though they don't really talk about what happened in the second or third film,
right?
They don't expressly negate them. They never do anything that says, you know, this never happened.
Right.
What's weird about just watching that opening sequence of Bumblebee, there's stuff that completely contradicts every Bay movie.
Yeah.
Like there's this obscure planet Earth that you must go to for the first time. It's like, wait a minute, they were I'm pretty sure it's established in the second one when they're talking about Jetfire as a 60s era Blackbird.
Yeah, there's been Transformers.
There's been Transformers on Earth since like there was a Model T Transformer.
Yeah.
There was an old timey bicycle with a big wheel Transformer.
Yeah.
The Primes were on Earth when we were cave people. But this is an obscure planet. Nobody's hurt. Like that was a complete rewrite of
I'm okay with.
Yeah, I'm fine. Like the Bay movies, I like the first one well enough.
Yeah.
The rest of them were garbage.
Yeah, the rest of them were garbage.
I have no problems with them just kind of jettisoning everything out the window. Now, I know you showed me a scene that kind of acknowledges the Bay movie where he becomes a Camaro.
Yes.
But the thing is, just because they have certain elements that were in the other movies doesn't mean, you know, I mean, they do directly contradict a huge part of the Transformers, the Bayverse.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's a line in the last one, which I didn't even see, but I saw in the commercials where Anthony Hopkins is like, don't you wonder why they keep coming back?
Yeah.
This one, he comes there for the first time.
Yeah. There's an interview with Travis Knight, the director who directed Kubo and the Two or the Five Streets. Yeah.
Whatever.
Of course, he directed this film, and he talks about somebody asked him about, well, why didn't you use Megatron in the Cybertron scenes? And he said, I wanted to, but Paramount was very adamant that I do not because he's supposed to already be on Earth. Well, they never acknowledged that. Like, John Cena works for Sector 7.
Okay.
And at one point, these, you know, the two triple changers in the film come to Earth and have convinced the military to help them find Bumblebee. And at one point, they're just amazed by these two creatures, like the scientific advances. And at one point, you're like, well, isn't Megatron? Because the Sector 7.
Didn't Megatron give us phones?
Yeah, like, Sector 7 is in the dam. Like, it's still in the dam. And you're going, well, isn't Megatron technically locked up below the dam? Wouldn't they know about
him? But that's a plot point in one of the films that, like, all our technology comes from Megatron.
Yeah.
Because that's in the second film, I think, like, when he's got that spark, like, in his jeans and it falls out and it touches. That's why the toaster becomes a transformer.
Yeah.
Because all our technology, and in the first film, I think that's why the Mountain Dew machine, because all our technology is from Megatron, from Transformers.
So I think
it's a soft reboot, but I mean, it's a reboot.
Yeah, it's a reboot. It really is. I mean, it basically goes, yeah, all that other stuff happened, but look at this new shiny stuff that's happening now.
And as we go forward, we're going to like diverge more and more from
We're just going to ignore this, because now Because people were like, Bumblebee, you know, they were talking, oh, Bumblebee's a failure. Like, when it opened and it didn't open strong, everybody's like, oh, it's not making any money.
I've already diminished the career of Paul Feig, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut about this one.
Yeah. Bumblebee currently is the number 10 movie this week, as of today. It may change over the weekend. But what's interesting is...
Okay, it did not make its production budget.
No.
Domestically.
Not domestically, but overseas, it's done $302 million.
That's plus. So it's done like about $13 million, or $113. See, it says domestic plus... Worldwide.
Yeah, you're talking worldwide.
Dude, man, my eyes are blurry.
Yeah, domestic plus the foreign equals the worldwide. Yeah, I know. So domestic, we've only done $117 million here. But it was not a huge, like, money maker. I mean, it made money, but... it was widely, it's the most positive review Transformer movie ever made.
Well, that would be hard.
It opened overseas, and of course, once it opened in China, boom, here
comes
all the money.
Love them Transformers
so
movies.
So we, you know, foreign, they've done $302 million.
Yeah.
With a worldwide total of $420 million. So it's made money. Like, the movie is making money now. And the fact that Paramount has already said that they're working on an animated Bumblebee Optimus Prime, like they're working on a sequel to Bumblebee, which is going to be a Bumblebee Optimus Prime film.
That'd be cool.
And they're working on an animated Transformers film that takes place on Cybertron that will probably be animated like it was at the beginning of Bumblebee with the computer generated images and stuff, the CGI.
No, that's live action. Haven't you heard about the Lion King?
Oh yeah. Sorry. So yeah, the movie has made money. And like I said, I remember when it opened, I was like, you know what? I think this movie's going to have legs, not to the same extent that The Greatest Showman did, but it's going to have positive word of mouth and people are going to go see it, and it's just going to keep playing for a lot longer than it normally does.
I suspect it played with the nerds, but that the norms were burned out on Transformers.
Which is possible.
Which, based on those numbers, I would say that's probably what happened.
Yeah, China alone did $138 million.
They like their Transmorphicons.
Uh-huh, I know.
It's like they, you know, which is weird because, you know, they're locked in these factories at gunpoint, making them, and then it's like, what are we going to do?
Let's go see Transformers.
Let's go watch Transformers. We've just spent 12 hours being whipped.
But I enjoyed Bumblebee. I thought it was, I mean, it literally basically is The Iron Giant. I mean, I got to be honest.
Oh, well, there you go.
It is Iron Giant, which is a great film to begin with, but it's a girl in her car. I mean, it literally is what it is.
I thought Hogarth was a boy.
Well, he was.
I thought The Iron Giant was just a robot.
He is, but you know.
Okay. I'm confused.
It's fine. It's The Iron Giant, but with a girl in her car instead of a boy in his robot.
Oh, okay.
And of course, John Cena is not the greatest actor in the world, but
is he G.I. Joe?
No, they never make that connection, which I'm kind of sad about. But he does come around at the end because Bumblebee does save him.
I figured.
Yeah, and he, you know,
Cena seemed a little high profile to be like a pure bad guy.
Yeah. So it was fun. It was an interesting week in a movie watching. Like I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I got to see a buddy of mine, Jim Chandler.
Is this your swanky movie club?
It's not a swanky movie club. He let me watch an actual, you know, Friday the 13th Part 3 was famously in 3D. And red and blue stereoscopic 3D or whatever that's called. Well, somebody has created a digital version where they got a hold of both the left and right film elements of that film. Because the 3D, the red and blue, is put in after, So they got elements of the left and right film elements of that film and basically turned it into a modern-day 3D film digitally. And it's not available, like, it's never come out on Blu-ray that way. It's always come out with the red and blue, so they've never released it in this other 3D. And it was nice to kind of, like, watch that horrible, horrible Friday the 13th movie in actual 3D. So that was interesting.
Well, that's the first one where he gets the hockey mask.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yep.
It is indeed. All thanks to some kid who...
Dumbass kid. Yeah, yep. The comedy relief kid who gets killed pretty early, I believe.
Oh, yeah, pretty quick. And, of course, the dude that gets his eye popped out, who is supposed to be a teenager, but he looks like he's damn near in his late 30s.
Exactly. So that's why I'm like, with Ghostbusters, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
They'll be movie teenagers.
Yeah, they'll be movie teenagers. They'll be youngins.
I sat around and read my mangas.
Your mangas? Yeah. You've been reading a lot of mangas lately.
I got in this one series called Berserk, and it's really good.
Oh, yeah. I know Berserk.
I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I know Berserk. But yeah, you're right. Berserk has been around since the 90s.
Yeah.
Been around a long time. There's an anime based on it, too, I think.
There are multiple animes. Yeah. It's been around that long.
Yeah, I know. Much like Sailor Moon has been around since, like, 94. There's, you know,
I don't know.
Two different anime series and a live-action series they've done, and They do stage musicals still for that, and like it's still going in Japan.
But it really got it's kind of like Game of Thrones meets Hellraiser.
Yes.
And the problem is it's also like Game of Thrones in that apparently the guy's probably going to die before he finishes it.
Well, yeah.
He keeps taking like long breaks.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, that checks out with anime.
But yeah, it's weird. It's like it builds, and it's actually really like it's got some disturbing ass stuff, but it builds and the story gets real complicated, and I really got absorbed in it. I've got like a stack of them in my room.
Really?
I got all 39 volumes.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Nice. Good job.
I've read over like the last 2 weeks.
Nice. Good job.
I tried out something from another culture.
Yeah. I've got a lot of manga sitting at home in a tote somewhere that I should probably dig out. I don't remember what all I have now at this point, but I know it's a lot.
Yeah.
Jesus, a ton of stuff. Well, there you go, guys. That's going to wrap up the show for this week.
Okay.
Dave and I will be back next week with an all-new show. As we get closer to Toy Fair, I'm sure we'll start to see more leaks and more information come out with Toy Line, so we'll have more to talk about then. So make sure you tune in next time. Check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/ToyWorldOrder, and youtube.com/BoardTheShow. Check us out on there. Subscribe. Mash the like button. Hit the bell icon so when we do upload new stuff to something like Board, which hasn't been updated in a while, but we're working on something. You'll be able to be notified. So check that out. And gang, until next time, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.